This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as always by Pat Fitzmaurice and by Scott Bogman. Fellas, we are mock drafting today. It is my most fun type of episode that we do. We are doing a Dynasty Superflex rookie mock draft. This is 2.0. Fitz, you actually missed the first one, which we did with Cody Carpentier, who was, you know, kind enough to join Boggs and myself. Did you learn anything from listening to the first one? Did you watch the tape to see what types of picks we'd be making?
I have been neglectful in scouting you guys, but I actually scouted Cody, oddly enough, yesterday. We joined Thor and Debro and myself joined three of the player profiler guys for a six-man mock draft. So that was interesting. I have the book on Debro and Thor now. I just don't have it on you guys, so I guess I'm going to learn a lot today.
I'm a wild card, okay? I'm Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. I am a complete believer in chaos, so you really can't learn anything from me. I'm going to be wildly different from the last one. Chaos is a ladder. great line from the show that wasn't actually in the books, by the way. So, really good moment there. Just to let everybody know, all of our early 2024 consensus rankings and tiers can be found at fantasypros.com/rankings. You can also navigate from there to our dynasty rankings as well if you want to take a look at where we have these guys ranked. Let's dive into the mock. And Bogman put together the sheet. He gave himself the first overall pick.
At third last time,
where are you starting us off? I know. All right. Where are you starting us off? Is it the obvious pick?
Look, I gave myself one because I struggle with one right now. Maybe that'll change by the time the draft is over, but I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is such a lock, but in a super flex mock, which is what we're doing here today, I think it has to be Caleb Williams. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes is what we want out of Caleb Williams. Are we going to get it? I don't know. That's a big ask. But Patty Mahomes is never really QB1. He's very high. He's in the top three constantly, but he hasn't been that like crazy overwhelming number one QB. Maybe one year he has, but he's always in that top three. Superflex is limited by the amount of players. It's only 32, right, quarterbacks in the NFL. So you know that is the number that you have, which is really 28 or 29, because there's always a couple jobs that are in flux. So to me, it still has to be the most guaranteed product coming out. That's Caleb Williams. So I'm going to stick with Caleb Williams and pick him at 1-1.
Fitz, just to confirm, you would make the same choice, right?
I would. And I understand the temptation of Marvin Harrison Jr. there, but I would also take Caleb 1-1.
Yeah, that's consensus, you know, unanimous across the board for the three of us at least. Fitz, are you going with Harrison at 2 then?
I am going to take Harrison. And, you know, it is super flex and Drake May and Jaden Daniels are tempting. But man, I'm just totally sold on Harrison. And we've talked about this worm. Like, I live up in Big Ten country. I've been watching Marvin Harrison Jr. for a while now, and I'm just like bowled over by how good he is. I mean, he's got a Hall of Fame dad, and Marvin Harrison is like bigger, faster, you know, amazing ball skills, underrated route running ability. It's not like he's any slouch there. I think he's just going to hit the ground running in September. And I mean, I think he's top 10 for redrafts, honestly, or maybe just out. I think I might have him as my wide receiver 11, but like he's going to make an impact right away. And I like him more than Neighbors. Like I don't think it's that close between those two. Neighbors is really, really good, but you know, I don't think there's any argument that Neighbors is better. I know that there are reports that there are some NFL teams that have Neighbors ranked higher. Like if I was an owner and I heard that, I would fire my entire scouting department.
Oh, I completely disagree with you. I 100% disagree. I love Neighbors.
I was gonna bring up too. Debro, Fitz and I taped with him just yesterday on the main feed, not the Dynasty show, and he had Neighbors ahead of Harrison in his rankings. Would you go so far as to have that Bogman, or you just think it's a lot closer than Fitz does?
I don't. I gotta be honest. I don't know, but I put them so close to each other that it's like, if someone took Neighbors ahead of Harrison, I'd be like, okay, I get it. But I do have, right now, I have Harrison one. But it's just Malik Neighbors is, they're both so good. And it's just like the stop and start speed and the way that Neighbors breaks out of his routes and doesn't slow down. It reminds me so much of Antonio Brown. And I watch a lot of Antonio Brown, right? And I haven't seen many guys like him. I think the thing that Antonio Brown still has done better than anyone I've ever seen is the hand usage. And not getting flags for the hand usage either is kind of crazy from him. So that is a learned thing that, you know, maybe these guys will develop. But I love Harrison. He's so much of a guarantee. That's why I had him at 1-1, but I also love Neighbors. It makes it, and this is the real reason I put myself at one, is because I don't know what I want to do with four, depending on what you do at three. So I'm like putting myself to the test in this mock. That's why I wanted to go one.
Yeah, I think three is actually really interesting. I think Caleb Williams one and Marvin Harrison Jr. two will be the most common start to every rookie draft out there. There will be some that maybe are slightly different, but I think that'll be the most common start. So three, as of right now, and I'm not sure if this is going to change even if the other guy goes higher than him on draft day, I'm going to go with Drake May over Jaden Daniels. I know, given the running ability, that Daniels has become very popular as the number three pick in sort of these early Superflex rookie mocks. I'm enamored with May. I think he would be a very easy number one overall pick in other years where there wasn't a Caleb Williams. I know that he didn't have the greatest final season at UNC. I think he was not given a lot to work with, both in terms of the players around him and the offense he was playing in. I think the natural ability is amazing. He reminds me a little bit of, and I'm not saying at all in terms of he's as good as this player, he reminds me of CJ Stroud in terms of the narrative going into rookie drafts last year was, at the start of the season, he was up there. It was like Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. And then as the season went on and as draft season went on, he started to fall. And, you know, guys like Anthony Richardson, the uber athletic freak, kind of overtook him in a lot of rookie drafts. And you could get CJ Stroud at like 104. I got him at 106 in a super flex draft last year, you know, in terms of these rookie drafts. I see May starting to fall a bit as well. He's not falling for me. I really like him. Even if Daniels goes two overall and Dre falls to three or four or wherever, I think I will still like May better in terms of my fantasy drafting. What do you think about that, Bogman?
So in terms of fantasy, I think I'm going to have Jaden Daniels ahead of Drake May, depending on the landing spot. Honestly, whoever lands in Washington is going to be my two because of Cliff Kingsbury and that system. So, but the running upside is so big. Now, he's not, you know, guaranteed to be a hit like I thought Lamar was, because Lamar did it for multiple seasons, right? Jaden Daniels started for multiple seasons, but he only looked really good when he got Brian Thomas and Malik Neighbors. And, you know, he was a big part of that, but so were those guys. So I just think the rushing upside for Daniels is too big, especially if he lands in Washington, which is now, I guess, he's the betting favorite. But this, like, it's funny because I feel like we get more clear after we get out of the top four or five picks here in terms of how I would rank the players. So to me, this top, because it's so much talent, they're all so good. And there's so many different opinions. I mean, Fitzy, you don't like Malik as much as you like Marvin. There's a lot of people that have that same mindset, but there's also a lot of people that like Rome over both of them, which is kind of crazy to me too. And I like Rome a lot. So to me, this top is so interchangeable. It's so close because I do think Drake May is more guaranteed to come in and light the world on fire than Jaden Daniels. So that's why, you know, if he lands in Washington, I will have him over Daniels, even with Daniels rushing upside, because the system fit is great. He can run a little bit. He's going to be throwing the ball a ton in Washington. But if Daniels lands there, I think I got to take the rushing upside. So the landing spot is huge for those two guys, which is kind of crazy because they're both so good. But Fitzy, what do you think of Drake May over Daniels?
I agree with it, actually. And I think Drake May's running ability is really undersold. Like, he is an aggressive runner, and I think he's got the body type that is going to hold up better to NFL punishment, the sort of punishment you get as a running quarterback in the NFL. Whereas I'm kind of worried about Daniels and how long and lanky he is and the overall sustainability of his business model in the NFL. Because if it is Jaden Daniels going to Washington, like I, you know, as a Washington fan, I would not want to be seeing my quarterback taking these big shots from Micah Parsons and Kayvon Thibodeau nonstop, you know, and like
Brian
we
Burns
saw
now too.
Yeah. And man, like, I forget who used the term. It might have been one of the Ringer guys who said that Jaden Daniels has a little Johnny Knoxville in him. Like he is taking some bumps that you don't want to see him take.
I think that might have been Nate Tice who said that.
Oh, was that? Yeah. Okay, Nate Tice, yeah. The Athletic. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that... I get it too. When you watch Jaden Daniels play, like he takes some shots that you don't want your quarterback taking. May is also just so good on the deep ball. I mean, I think he hit like a long pass on like 5.7% of his dropbacks last year. Like he's really good with the arm. Like he can make throws at every level of the field. I think May is a terrific prospect who is getting maybe a little overshadowed just because he's got company at the top. But like any other year, most other years, he's 101.
Yeah, if I'm an NFL franchise, May is my guy. Over Daniels, not real close. But for fantasy, it's rushing upside. What if Daniels is in Washington and May is in New England, does that change your mind at all? Or is it you're sticking to what you see on film?
I mean, I know the, and it's so funny to say this based on the Patriots' past success, but Washington does have a much better infrastructure for a quarterback to walk into. There's no question about it. But I would still prefer May, even if he winds up in New England.
Fair.
My dream scenario, and I don't know how likely it is, and obviously it's not really what Thor and Debro are predicting on the NFL draft show, but my dream scenario is that Minnesota trades up and it's surprise not for McCarthy, but it's for May instead. And I'm you know, not going to hold
you
my breath on that.
You just want to see Thor? You just want to see Thor get mad? Is that what it is?
Yes, that's an added bonus here. So I'm going May 3. Bogman has kind of already established that, you know, Daniels, you know, it's kind of the four pick here. So Fitz, I'm curious at 5, the guy that you're going to take, is he somebody that you would have considered over May or Daniels, or do you think those two quarterbacks in whatever order are the right picks at 3 and 4?
I think they're the right picks at 3 or 4. And I'm going to take Malik Nabers here. And so just because I think Marvin Harrison is better than Malik Nabers doesn't mean that I'm not super high on Nabers. I think he's a can't miss star. I just think, you know, if I were assessing their Canton possibilities, I'd put Marvin Harrison at like 50-50 and maybe Malik Nabers at 35-65 or something like that.
I think that's fair too. And look, you know, Marvin Harrison is a stud. I'm not sitting here telling you shouldn't like Marvin. Marvin Harrison's amazing. You know, I just think Malik is right up there with him. That's all. And that's 4 is tough for me too, because you have to take Danielson Superflex, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I love Malik. So, you know, just the logic to me says you got to lean quarterback in those scenarios. That's why I went with Caleb and went with Jaden. But Malik is such a good pick here. Not. I think there's one more pick, and then it starts to open up.
I was going to say, can we just remark about the, like, what a great year this is to be picking, like, 104, 105, 106, whereas most years, like, things start to get a little shakier after the first 2 or 3.
I include 107 in that as well, and I would actually say, because I'm up here at 6, I think this is the first spot in the draft where the landing spot actually might flip the next two guys, because I think it's very clearly one of Brock Bowers or Rome Odunze, and I think if one of them goes to Los Angeles and is paired up with Justin Herbert, and the other one goes to New York and is paired up with you know, to the Giants and is paired up with Daniel Jones, that might be enough to kind of flip who I prefer. I'm going to go with Bowers just because of the uniqueness of having sort of an elite tight end. I know it didn't work out with Kyle Pitts, but, you know, I'm not going to hold that against the next kind of elite guy to come along. And it does seem like he's very likely to end up in a good spot. Maybe it's with, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Maybe it's with Herbert. Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. But I very, very easily, you could ask me tomorrow and I might say Odunze. I am head over heels with Odunze as well. To me, the top seven in this class is very, very clear. I think number eight is clear as well, but he is a clear eight for me. But between six and seven, it's going to be the way I kind of see it is I think one and two is a tier. I think three, four, five is a tier. And I think six and seven is a tier. You might, you know, sort of, you know, bicker with me about where those tier lines actually are. But either way, I do think it's the top seven. I'm going with Bowers today. I could easily go with Odunze tomorrow. I love them both.
It's funny that you mentioned that because, I mean, what you'll get in your drafts if you are, you know, you're already in a league that's established and you're drafting in this spot, six, seven, eight, it's really going to depend on what the manager needs at this spot, right? It's not, you're never really going to see a hard and fast BPA. We can't all be the Baltimore Ravens, right? And just sit and take the best player available, regardless of whether he's a need on my team or not, and just play him when you need him. Most people want their points right now. They want their points right now. So you're going to see interchanging things here in this spot. I am going to take Rome Odunze at seven, the wide receiver out of Washington, over J.J. McCarthy, even in a super flex, just because the landing spot is still way up in the air for McCarthy. I mean, if the Giants take him, and now Daniel Jones is the starter, but probably going to end up being McCarthy at some point, what happens if Daniel Jones is just good again after coming off of this ACL and having some rest time? And then obviously they would want to trade him the next year because they don't really like him, it seems like. But is McCarthy going to get any playing time? I know Rome steps into wherever he goes and he starts today. So for that reason, at seven, I'll go ahead and take Rome Odunze. But it is kind of a tough choice for me, knowing the quarterbacks are worth more in a super flex. So I'll let Fitzy make that decision next. So where are you going, Fitz?
Yeah, so I guess I have to take the Michigan quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. You know, and like he's been a tough evaluation, and it was the fall of 2022 where I kind of wondered to myself if he was going to be considered a day one or day two NFL prospect because he was used so sparingly, you know, like if averaging 23, 24 pass attempts per game for a team that had a great defense and a great running game. So, but yeah, like the tools are there. It's an NFL caliber arm for sure. And he's mobile. And he's got, you know, pretty prototypical NFL size. So I totally get it. I don't agree with Thor, who likes him more than Drake May, but, I understand why he is a first round NFL pick and pretty much a slam dunk to be taken in the first, 12 picks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he, at this point, he's definitely going top 10.
I think it's super flex drafts too. Like he's going to be the eighth pick in a lot of leagues because I don't, it will be very hard to make the case for him over those elite seven options. But in super flex, if he's a guy who's going in the top 12 picks in the NFL draft, there's such a drop off then, I think, to the rest that I think it's going to be hard to pass on him.
Well, let me ask you about that, Worm. Like, say, you know, Thor's wishes are granted and J.J. McCarthy does wind up in Minnesota. And now he's throwing to Jefferson and Addison and eventually T.J. Hockenson. Like, you don't think maybe he passes up Bowers and Odunze in a lot of drafts?
I kid you not. I was about to ask you the exact same thing. Does he go higher than eight if he's throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison in Kevin O'Connell's offense? I think the answer is probably yes, like certainly in Superflex. I think there's very likely to be teams that have a need at quarterback, and therefore they're going to take him over like a Brock Bowers because they'll say, listen, it's Superflex. It's not tight end premium. I need the QB, even with a tight end who's as talented as Bowers. So I don't know that he gets into like the top four picks in Superflex drafts, but I do think he could go in that seven, six, maybe even as high as five, depending on how badly a quarterback's needed.
We're going to see him go ahead of May in some drafts if May goes to New England.
That's what I was about to ask you, Fitz. Yeah. Like, well, let's flip it though. Let's say May goes to Washington. Jayden Daniels in New England, where we know like he's going to have to do a lot himself because the wide receivers are not great. Or do you want McCarthy and O'Connell's system?
Man, I'm pretty steadfast in my ranking of Caleb May, Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. I'm not sure landing spot could move me off that.
Okay.
But I will say New England versus Minnesota for
test.
Daniels and McCarthy. Yeah, that'll make me think twice about that.
Yeah. All right, Worm, you're up for the first non-obvious pick.
I was going to say, this is the reason why I didn't want to be picking third, is not because of three and six, it's because of nine. And even with that, like, diatribe on what we would do with McCarthy, like, I still am not 100% sure. I think this is where it's going to get really landing spot dependent, right?
Sure.
For a while, I have been very high on Troy Franklin. I am not out on Troy Franklin, but I don't know this early part of the draft process has been that kind to him. We've seen, you know, there's been a lot of like talk about how Brian Thomas, like in a lot of people's eyes, is the clear wide receiver four in this class. Obviously, Xavier Worthy, you know, broke the record running the 40-yard dash. You know, I'm not going to take a running back here. And obviously, this is not a spot for quarterback or a tight end, you know, amongst the guys who are left. So it's definitely going to be a wide receiver. And I think there's a strong case to be made for like any of like five of them. I'm just going to take the speed and I'm going to take Worthy here, but really like Thomas, like Adonai, Troy Franklin, like Keon Coleman, like you could convince me on a given day of the order being different on a lot of those guys. I'm going to go with the speed and just take Worthy and assume that he gets in a really nice landing spot at the end of the first round with a ready-made quarterback and a team that is ready to use him and win now.
I love that pick of Xavier Worthy. Yeah, Texas guys going high. I like to see him going in the first round in NFL mock drafts. I like to see him going first round in fantasy mock drafts. Fitz, is that what you do? Is Worthy your guy here, or would you take somebody else?
No, and I don't hate the pick, but I would have taken someone else.
Okay. Is that guy the guy that I'm going to take here? Is that Brian Thomas from LSU?
That is probably the direction I would have gone.
I will say those were the two I was ultimately between was Thomas and Worthy.
It's the size, man. You know, that is the difference here, and the long speed and landing spot is going to matter for all of these guys. You know, Xavier Worthy in Kansas City is way different than Xavier Worthy in New England, of course, you know, or Carolina or wherever. You know, they struggle with QB play, but I think that a lot of these guys might be QB proof. I don't think they are. I don't think every guy is going to be. And obviously there's going to be a bust in here somewhere among all of these wideouts. But it's hard to see where the bust is going to be. There's so much talent. So I think Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, I would throw in Fitz. I know would throw Keon Coleman in this group as well. Not everybody would, but there's a lot of wide receivers that are in this range here that are very, very good.
Well, you set me up nicely, Boggs, because I am going to go with Keon Coleman here. And it is a very tough group, but I am a Keon Coleman guy. And I know you've got my back on this, Boggs, but I had to defend this when I took Keon Coleman at maybe it was like 110 in that draft that we did with the player profiler guys yesterday. D-Bro doesn't like Keon Coleman. And I think Thor is sort of lukewarm on him, but look, I realize he's not going to be an elite separator, but he is the same kind of wide receiver that Dez Bryant was for the Cowboys, that Mike Evans has been for the Buccaneers, maybe sort of that George Pickens is right now for the Steelers. He is a guy with extraordinary ball skills and size. I mean, he is a rebounder. And he was literally a rebounder because he played basketball for Tom Izzo at Michigan State in his first 2 years in college before transferring to Florida State. I know the 4.62 he ran at the combine is going to be off-putting to some people, but when the wide receivers were doing the gauntlet drill, he had the top speed. He hit 20.7 miles an hour. No one, not even the burners, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, hit that speed. And Coleman looked silky smooth running that. This guy's got good hands. I mean, he can just pluck balls outside the frame of his body. And he can't be that slow, guys, because he was returning punts at Florida State. If you're worried about a guy's speed, you're not putting him back there to return punts. And Keon Coleman was doing that for the Seminoles at his final college season.
He looks smooth with the ball in his hands too. Like, and look, you know, there's plenty of guys that have size and no speed, and that doesn't translate to the NFL, right? Like, but I think those guys are, I think I think Coleman is more of a Michael Pittman. He's more of a Drake London. He's a big wide receiver that has enough speed, and you really don't even need that speed at that size, right? You have to have the good catch radius, which he also has. So I'm in on Keon Coleman as well. I think it's a very, very solid pick here, Fitz. I like it.
You know that Fitz wasn't on the last mock draft episode we did because I believe I got Keon Coleman at like 205 in that one. Yeah. So wow. He would not have fallen there with Fitz here. And really, like I said, I know I was like kind of hemming and hawing about my pick. Like, Worthy, Thomas, Keon Coleman. If we just like put those guys' names in a hat and drew them out randomly and we just took that order instead, I'd be fine with it. Like, I really, they all bring something different to the table. And again, I think landing spot's going to be really crucial with this whole stretch of receivers. I'm going to take another receiver to wrap things up. I'll take A.D. Mitchell, another Texas guy. Just, you know, athletic freak, you know, high upside play. I'll be really curious to see where he lands. But this is still... this is the range where I might, if I really had a strong need, think to myself, whoever I think RB1 is, maybe I would consider if I really needed it, you know, in a real draft. But as a mock, I don't think any of these running backs, as much as I think some of them can be really nice role players, I just don't think any of them are worth taking over any of these, you know, stretch of four or five tier two wide receivers. So I'll go with Mitchell here. But again, you know, on a different day, it could be one of these other couple of guys, and I wouldn't be upset about it. Let me give a quick recap here of round one. Caleb Williams, 101. Marvin Harrison Jr., 102. Drake May, 103. Jaden Daniels, 104. Malik Nabers, 105. Brock Bowers, 106. Roma Dunze, 107. J.J. McCarthy, 108. Not a ton of shocks there. And then at 109, Xavier Worthy. 110, Brian Thomas. 111, Keon Coleman. 112, A.D. Mitchell. Bobby, what are your quick thoughts on Mitchell?
I mean, Mitchell, I like, and I think Fitz and I kind of had a fight over the Texas guys too, because he couldn't believe I wasn't higher on Worthy than Mitchell. But I think Mitchell is more ready to go right now. I think Worthy's also ready to go, guys. I don't think he's like going to be a slouch or anything, but I think Worthy has more upside. So if you're playing for longer, you know, you're not going to win this year or the following year, but then year three, you're going to start hitting your stride because you're rebuilding or whatever. In that situation, I take Worthy if I want to win today. And again, landing spot will make the difference between these two guys because, you know, you're a different player if you're in New England versus if you're in Kansas City, right? But I think Mitchell is ready to go today. I think he's ready to score touchdowns today. I think he's ready to be more than... you know, guy, because like they're going to take Worthy off on rundowns. Like if he goes to the Ravens, you know, he's not going to see every snap. He's going to see a lot of snaps, but not every snap. They're not going to put him in a position to block every single time. So it just depends on landing spot between those guys. But I think Mitchell is more ready to play every single snap and do everything right now. So Mitchell, I like just a little bit more.
Fitz, Mitchell in the first round, even with the last pick, do you like it or pro or con?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I like both guys. The only thing, like, I'd push back on the idea that Worthy is less ready to go. I think he's more ready to go because he's the better route runner. You know, like, it's Worthy is a really good route runner. He totally reminds me of Devontae Smith as a really slightly framed wide receiver who's just silky with the route running and the ability to, you know, separate. And
he can get off the line too better than I remembered when I went back and watched him. He is more ready than I thought initially, but I still think that I just think like, you know, in terms of the downs, like you're not going to ask. It's like Mike Tomlin said, they asked him a long time ago, are you going to let Chris Rainey block? He's like, usually you don't want to tow your boat with your Ferrari. You know what I mean? Like, so they're not going to make him block that much depending on where he goes. If it's a team that runs a lot and they need a player like Worthy to stretch the field, he's just going to see the field less than Mitchell.
I get it. Like the weight's a little concerning. No one wants to draft Tavon Austin, the sequel.
Right. Yeah. Or Tutu Atwell, a more, recent reference there. So
By now, most of you have probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. That's promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at Reality Sports Online. .com. All right, guys, let's go into round two. Bogman, you are up at the 201.
Yeah, I'm between three players here, but I'm going to go with the one I think is probably more of a lock for success than the other two, and that's Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon. And I know he lost a little bit of stock because he wobbled in his gauntlet drill. He didn't run a straight line, but that's also, you're not catching six balls in one line when you're playing a real football game. So, you know, I don't know. This is the part of the drills that I'm not the biggest fan of at the combine, because we let one thing, and the weight a little bit too. He came in undersized at 176, but he had the flu going in, and he came into his pro day 8 pounds heavier at 184. So he is tall. He is skinny. I get it, which maybe, you know, pushes him off of the group of, you know, AD and Xavier Worthy and all those guys. But I still think Troy Franklin's a stud. I think wherever he winds up, he's going to be everything that you wanted out of Gabe Davis. I think you'll get from Troy Franklin and more. So he is guaranteed here. Wide receiver is deep. I don't necessarily want to take a wide receiver, but he's the end of a tier for me. So I'm going to take him right here.
Yeah, Fitz, I really like Troy Franklin. Like I said, there was a time when I was taking him at the 109. I could see myself getting back there, you know, within the next month before actual rookie drafts are coming. What do you think about the pick here?
Not going to lie, I dropped him quite a bit after the combine. Just like didn't get what we were hoping for from him in the 40. And, you know, as I joked on this mock draft we did yesterday, like on that gauntlet drill, he looked like me coming out of the bars when I was an undergraduate at Wisconsin. So, yeah, like I don't know. I'm not burying him. Like, I don't want to. I've learned the lesson from the Kyren Williams combine of a couple of years ago, where I don't want to write off a guy just because he disappoints with his 40 time and drills. So don't want to write him off. But yeah, like in such a wide receiver rich draft, it just kind of that broke the tie for me. Like after the top three guys and maybe Brian Thomas at four, like there were five or six or seven guys I had really close together, and the combine helped me sort those guys out.
Fitz, I want to go, you know, I want credit for the fact that I did make a joke about you graduating from Wisconsin in the 40s. So I just want you to appreciate the kindness that I was doing to you by not
appreciate
saying
that.
What a kind guy. Yeah, Worm, that's how I describe you. When someone's like, how is working with Worm? And I'm like, just a
he's,
kind
he's so
guy.
Kind.
Won't make jokes about how old you are at all.
No, so. not once. Fitz, who's your next pick?
It's going to be Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver from Georgia. Just like a guy who really helped himself in the postseason with his Senior Bowl performance and his combine. Yeah, I guess sort of the opposite of Troy Franklin in that regard. But like McConkey, yeah, I know he's never actually led the Georgia Bulldogs in receiving, but just you can see how he's going to fit in the NFL. He's just such a smooth mover. His ability to quickly get off the line and get separation is going to make him pretty popular with whoever his quarterback is at the next level. So, like, I think he's a pretty safe choice in the early second round.
I like it a lot. He was going to be my pick if he went one more, you know, spot here. He has done a lot in this draft process that has risen him in my estimation and in other estimations. I'm just very certain that he's going to be a quality player. I don't know what he ends up being in the long run in terms of how high the ceiling is. I don't think it's a, you know, necessarily that low of a ceiling, but I am very confident with the floor I'm getting with his ability. Bogman, what do you think about McConkey?
I like Ladd McConkey. He is my next ranked wide receiver after Troy Franklin. So very, very, I mean, landing spot's going to mean a lot to him because he's floating in the waters of, like, you know, he could either go to New England or Carolina, or he could end up in Washington where they're going to pass the ball 100 times a game, you know. So landing spot means a lot for Ladd, probably more than some of those other guys, but he's still he's going to be good regardless of landing spot.
Ladd is not the last wide receiver that I like. There's certainly plenty more that I do, but he was the last receiver that I needed to go off the board before I considered taking a running back. I am going to finally break the seal on running backs. I'm going to go with Jonathan Brooks, similar to the last stretch of receiver. By the way, yeah, another Longhorn. I am crushing it with drafting the Texas guys unintentionally.
It's not me, everybody. I didn't take one. You didn't leave one for me.
I cannot be the one to take Jatavion Sanders. I need to break this streak. So somebody else please do it. But no, I'm gonna take Brooks. I think if he didn't get hurt, he would have been the RB1 in the class. And there's no one else who has sort of usurped that title, you know, in his injury related absence, for however you want to define that. There are other guys I like. There are other running backs I'll probably take, you know, throughout the course of this mock draft. But Brooks for now is my RB1. We'll see where he ends up going in the actual NFL draft. Again, landing spot's going to really matter, especially in this running back class where there's so many kind of role players more so than obvious workhorse, you know, three down backs. There's a couple that could get there, but I'm going to go with Brooks. And like I said, it's not that I don't like any of the other wide receivers. There's a lot I like, but I think now's the time to get a running back off the board. Fitz, what do you make of that?
Yeah. So that, like, I just can't rank him as my top running back because of the injury and knowing that his first year in the NFL could be something close to a redshirt year, because he tore his ACL in November and you figure he's not going to be able to go through a full training camp, like at best side work. It's, you know, going to be non-contact stuff. He's not going to play in preseason games. Maybe he starts the season on the PUP list. And if he misses training camp and doesn't really get to fully process whatever system he gets thrust into, are they going to trust him when he's like cleared in October or whenever that might be? So I'm a little leery about that. And, you know, I don't know that it's a Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall type skill set that even with the injury, I'm putting him ahead of the other guys. So, yes, he's one of these six or seven guys who I think are in the running for top running back in this class, but he would not be my number one.
Would you have gone with whoever your RB1 is in that spot, or do you think it's still an area where you go with a different position and continue to kick the RB can down the road?
I would not consider running back in the top 15.
Okay. That's interesting. JB's my guy, by the way. That is my number one running back, obviously. I'm a little bit of a Texas homer, but I think with Brooks, he's kind of the McCarthy of running backs, right? Like, he was just buried. He was behind Roshan. He was behind Bijan. So we just didn't see him until he got work in 2023. And when he got work, he was awesome. He was so good. I wasn't even sure as a Texas fan he's going to be the starter going into the season, because Texas brought in Cedric Baxter. My bad. But with Baxter, he was a huge recruit. He was a five-star running back, right? A four-star running back. So it was like, is he going to get it? Is Brooks going to get it? Because we hadn't seen a lot of Brooks, and Brooks blew him out of the water. He was so good. But the ACL injury, all that stuff. Look, here, for me, this would be whoever the Cowboys draft a running back, right? That is who I'd be taking in this spot. But we have no idea who that is. And their doctors, as D-Bro has mentioned many times, are the ones that did the surgery for Jonathan Brooks. They're the ones that announced that he's probably going to be ready for a little bit of training camp, or he has a possibility, a shot to be ready for training camp. So I'm going to skip running back here again and kick that can down the road like Fitz said he would. I'm going to take Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback out of Washington, because it's super flex. I think he has end spot of that second pick for the Raiders, that pick in the second round in the 40s. I think that is the lowest he could possibly go. I think if he ends up in Vegas, his stock should be very high, because it's Minshew behind him with Aiden O'Connell. I think he can pass those guys up pretty fast, even though I know a lot of people like Gardner Minshew. I'm not a huge Minshew fan. and he has great targets if he ends up in Vegas. So, you know, quarterbacks are still the king in a super flex league. Their positional value makes them more valuable than they probably should be. And for that reason, I'm going to take Michael Penix right here.
Yeah, Fitz, is that the right – A, is that the right quarterback to take? And B, is this the right spot to take the fourth or the fifth quarterback off the board?
Yes and yes. And he's got me scrambling because that was going to be my pick with this next one. Like, I think for a guy with his arm talent, and he's like, I'm pretty confident he's going to be picked somewhere in the first round of the NFL draft. So I think like in drafts right now, Michael Penix is going to go somewhere in the second round. You know, actual drafts that people do in dynasty leagues, the rare leagues that do their rookie draft before the NFL draft. He's probably a second rounder. I think after the draft, he's going to start to move up into the late first. Like the arm talent is just so exquisite. I know we're looking for that mobility dimension in quarterbacks nowadays, but with Penix's arm, like there's no reason he can't be just a rock solid QB2 in fantasy for years to come.
So are you going to take sort of the last quarterback here that would, you know, that was certainly going to be a day two pick or
no, or, I'm not, no, no, not a fan of the guy we're talking about. Man, like debating between a couple of the wide receivers who I sort of like, but I actually am going to go with a running back in this spot. I'm going to go with my number one running back, Blake Corum of Michigan. And I just think he's the best pure runner in this class. Like, I know he's smaller, which some people aren't going to like, and I know he's a little bit older as a prospect, which some people aren't going to like, but man, like, this dude just has contact balance and vision and footwork and agility, and we saw it against Washington in the national championship game. Man, like,
I don't know if you mentioned the best thing about him, the pile push. For a guy that's that small, well, when he gets into a pile, he moves forward every time. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he is a Mighty Mouse. He did the bench press at the combine 27 times.
Unbelievable.
A dude that size, he did 27 bench press reps at the combine. So, yeah, he is an impressive dude. And I've heard comparisons to Ray Rice. I've heard comparisons to Doug Martin. You know, I hope he turns out a little closer to Ray Rice than Doug Martin, but, you know, neither comp that bad. So I kind of agree with those comps. Like, I think Corum is terrific. And, you know, mid second round, I'm pretty happy with him there.
Well, you didn't mention the other best part of him, which is that he's almost certainly going to be drafted by a Greg Roman-led offense that doesn't have a lot of competition in the backfield.
Doesn't that seem natural? Like, would you, Boggs, I know you mentioned how glorious Dallas would be as a landing spot for a rookie back, and I totally agree. But where do you think Corum would be more valuable, with the Chargers or with the Cowboys?
Probably with the Chargers, because they're going to rebuild. You know, this is what Harbaugh does. They run the ball a million times. So, yeah, I mean, probably he'd probably fit better and not have the learning curve isn't there for him, you know? So yeah, I think the Chargers probably are the better landing spot for him. I'm not convinced that Dallas will pass him up though. You know, if JB isn't ready to go, they need somebody. Rico Dowdle is their number one right now, cause they just re-signed him like 2 days ago. So it's him and Vaughn, and everybody else has a running back, pretty much everybody else in the NFL. So it's them. You know, I don't know where the next running back is going to go. It was Philly before they signed Saquon. I don't know where the next running back comes off the board.
The one thing I would ask about, though, quickly on that comparison with Ray Rice, Fitz, is Corum the pass catcher that Rice was? Because that was a big part of Ray Rice's value, was he was so good on those check down passes from Joe Flacco. He had the famous, like, you know, 4th and 29 he converted against the Chargers, but he was a pretty significant part of their passing game. Has Corum really been that at Michigan?
No. Hasn't been a big part of that offense. So, yeah. Like, it's one of those things where maybe he's capable of doing it, but just wasn't asked to do it a lot in college.
Okay. Just making sure I wasn't forgetting anything there. There's a wide receiver that I really like here, and there's also a running back that I really like here, and I am torn between the two. I think just because there are so many other receivers that I will like later if this next guy doesn't fall to me again. I'm going to go with the running back. I'm going to go with Marshawn Lloyd, who I know Debro would be very proud to see go off the board here. I mentioned earlier that there's no, you know, true, like, obvious three-down workhorse back in this draft. I think Lloyd, maybe he doesn't, you know, get there in terms of, like, you know, being, you know, a super stud or, you know, Bijan level or anything like that, but I think he has a similar skill set in that there's nothing that I believe he can't do well. I think he's a really well-rounded player. I think that he was not maybe in the best offense to showcase his skill set at USC, but I just think he's really talented. I'm a huge fan. I really like what I saw from him, you know, with all the clips and stuff at the Senior Bowl. Again, Debro, you know, our coworker, is a huge fan of Lloyd. I think he has him RB1 as well. I really like getting him in the middle of the second round in these rookie drafts. And I know he's not your RB1, obviously, because Corum is Fitz, but what do you think about Lloyd?
Yeah, I mean, I like him. Tough kid. There was some talk about that, like, Theo Greminger of Player Profiler was somewhat familiar with Lloyd's high school career and had some stories to tell about that. Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, he's a guy who, like, Debro and I have argued about several guys in this class, but Debro really kind of talked me into Marshawn Lloyd and sort of opened my eyes to him. So early in the, you know, the rookie process, I had him like toward the back of my top 10. Now I've got him at, like, I think RB4, RB5. So, yeah, he's kind of winning me over.
Go ahead. I was just going to say quickly that I watched him a little in high school, too, because he went to high school 5 minutes from the University of Maryland, and I was very much hoping that he would be a Terpin, and he was not. Sorry, go ahead, Bogman.
So I'm lower on Lloyd, and it's not because of his skill at all. I think he's great. I mean, you watch him at USC, you know, maybe he doesn't follow the block every single time. But I mean, he gets all the yards that he possibly can on every play. So he is definitely a good player. He's just had a little bit of an injury history. So because of that, I wonder if the light workload at USC was partially because of that, because of his previous injury history. So he's a little bit further down my board, but if he can stay on the field, he can definitely be the best running back in this class because it's a little bit of a weaker class at
RB. The injury stuff is why I sort of stopped myself from saying he could be that three-down workhorse just because of the durability. But I think skill set-wise is why I'm such a fan.
Yeah, I mean, the skill set is there. Like, he is ready to be an NFL running back. It's just availability is the best ability.
Yes.
The old scouting trope. So, you know, yeah. I have him at 7.
All right, Bogman, who's your next guy?
Look, you haters have let this happen too much. Give me Bo Nix, the quarterback. Once again, it's super flex, boys. We're taking some later wide receivers over a quarterback that is probably going to start at some point in 2023 or 2024, excuse me. And look, I saw in a mock draft the other day, and I ended up doing it in my mock draft for ITL in the War Room as well. I could see him going as early as 12 to Denver because he fits the type of stuff that Sean Payton likes to do. And he has worked with quarterbacks with, you know, maybe not a massive arm that's going to bomb everything. You know, Bo Nix can still make the throws. He has mobility, and there's a possibility that he starts pretty quickly in the NFL. And quarterback is just a boosted value, even for quarterbacks that aren't very good but are starting. So for me, give me Bo Nix in this spot because he's still on the board and he could be a starter this year.
I don't know that he's really like falling. This seems like about the right range, like mid round two for a guy. I mean, I know it's super flex, but like how much value is there in having like the QB24? Like, I just don't know what kind of, there's so many good quarterbacks in the NFL right now that it's really hard for me personally to make the case for Bo Nix being like a top 18 guy.
Well, the thing is that somebody is hoarding four quarterbacks in your league, right? That's really the thing. Somebody is hoarding quarterbacks and wanting to, you know, bend you over the barrel to trade them to you. So sometimes you are forced to take one just because, you know, even though he's QB24, he's going to score more than wide receiver 9 or 10 a lot of weeks. So, you know, it's just the simple math. So the simple math says he's probably going to be starting at some point in 24, specifically if he's a first round pick. If he doesn't go in the first round, he is going to lose value. And if he gets drafted behind someone established, he's going to lose a lot of value. So, but right now there's a little buzz of him possibly going to Denver. So I think I got to take him here.
Fitz, very quick thoughts on Knicks, and then give me your pick here at 208.
Yeah, like I don't know if I can see NFL star power with Bo Nix, even if I squint really hard, but there is something to be said for how much playing experience he has under his belt in major college programs. And there's something to be said for that. Like we saw Brock Purdy, who had played a lot in college, didn't have draft capital and was still able to come in and be a pretty effective NFL quarterback, maybe largely because he played so much in college. So, yeah, I mean, like I agree this is probably around the spot in the draft where Nix should go, although if he is in fact drafted in the first round, we're probably going to start seeing him go in the top half of the second round of rookie drafts.
And who are you taking next?
I'm going to take Ricky Pearsall. And man, I don't know if this guy was really like in my top 15 at rookie receiver before the postseason started. And like Pearsall, good route runner and good ball skills. But man, he just lit it up at the combine, and I did not see that coming. Ran a 4.41 and had a 42-inch vertical jump. 42 inches. Like, this guy is way more athletic than I gave him credit for going into the offseason. And so now he's actually got me pretty excited. I know Thor really likes him. So a guy I would not have seen as a second-round pick a couple months ago, now I think is a second-round lock in most rookie drafts.
Fitz, I legitimately, like, almost cursed when you said his name, because I was so ready to take him. I was between Lloyd and Pearsall with the last pick, and then I was like, oh, he might actually get to me. And I, you know, I am a professional, so of course I held, you know, I bit my
Shucks.
Tongue. But
gosh,
I was,
darn it,
I was very close to letting loose with an expletive there, because I really wanted Pearsall. I think it's a great pick. Bogman, what do you think?
I love it. I mean, Pearsall is kind of the end of a tier to me too. There's another wide receiver I like in this range, and there's still a lot of wide receivers to like also, but we're getting to the point where it's like, okay, some of these running backs need to start coming off the board too. So it depends on what you like and where your head's at. So I think it kind of opens up the board for you. You don't need to be mad. Now you can make a pick and matter.
What's tricky for me here is there's still a lot of names that I like, but it's a lot of names where I feel like I should maybe be looking at more in like the early third than I want to be looking at like 209. So it's like, do I reach on a guy that I like? I think you're right, where Pearsall to me was kind of the end of a tier a bit. You know, I was really high before the combine on Audric Estime, but obviously he, you know, has fallen out of favor after that experience. You know, somebody like Braylon Allen, I was really high on early in the process. And, you know, I know Cody, our friend we've mentioned a few times, you know, Carpentier is still very high on Allen. And he took him, I think, as like the 201 or something when he came on to do the rookie draft with us. But it's just a lot of people who, it's a lot of players where I'm not walking away from this pick being like, wow, I am stoked that this guy got to me. Whereas I would have probably felt that way with Pearsall. I am just going to go with Braylon Allen. I think he's a guy who he can fill a role for an NFL team. There might be more upside there if he stays a little bit healthier. I know Fitz, as a Wisconsin fan, has talked about how he's a guy that kind of just comes off the field a lot and gets dinged up, you know, maybe more so than you would like from a guy from his size. But just very young guy, which I do really like, especially at the running back position. So because I'm not in love with anybody and the value of anybody at this point in the draft, and again, there's only been three running backs to come off the board, I'll go ahead and take Braylon Allen here.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't hate it. Braylon Allen is like 235, might play as big as like 240, and actually moves really well. Didn't run at the combine and elected not to run it as pro day. And I'm kind of surprised, because I don't think he would have ran a slow time. But yeah, he does get dinged a little bit more often than you'd like, although he hasn't ever had anything major miss significant time. I think he's had more 100-yard rushing games than any other running back in this class. And you mentioned it, Worm. Not only is he, I think, the youngest running back in this class, he might be one of the youngest players at any position in this class. Like, and man, you're not bringing this dude down with an arm tackle. Yeah. But I guess the one reason why I'm not like super head over heels in love with him, more so than, you know, occasionally getting nicked up a little bit, is just that I don't see much pass catching potential here. And Wisconsin did involve him in the passing game a little bit, and he's got decent hands, but he's just not really fluid as a receiver. He doesn't, like, you know, gather the ball on the move and quickly turn it upfield. He's just not the guy who's going to win in open space. So dynasty leagues are PPR leagues typically. And I think the PPR format is going to devalue Braylon Allen slightly in fantasy football.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. Bogman, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is the Keon Coleman of running backs, right? Some people really like him. Some people really don't like him. And to me, the pass catching, it's just like Fitz said with Quorum, it's just not something they asked him to do a lot. I don't know if he could do it or not, because we just didn't see him do it a lot. So, you know, maybe we'll see him do it more. But if he goes to the Chargers, right, probably not going to ask him to catch the ball a lot. They're probably going to run the ball a ton. So it really depends. It's the speed for me. You know, if you don't have speed in the league, you just can't get there. So I just don't know if he has it. He didn't run the 40 time, and he has a good reason. He said, hey, look, I didn't run. I am 100%, but I didn't have time to train for this event. So I don't want to go out there and put a bad time up. So, you know, I'm 100% now. I'll just let my film talk. And I think that was smart for him. So, you know, he's still solidly above a lot of running backs in this class for me, but I do have him at like 5. So, you know, I'm just a little lower on him than a lot of people are.
Bogman, you're on the clock at 2:10.
Yeah, give me Trey Benson. I'm not even the biggest Trey Benson fan. You know, we talked, I think, in the last mock, and I said he runs a little upright. I watched a little more. It's not as bad as I thought. You know, I think sometimes there's a little dancing there, but he's got the long speed. I think he has enough burst too. And if he ends up in a good spot, I want to see him end up somewhere where he could potentially take the job. I don't want him in Tampa. You know, I don't want him somewhere where he's definitely a number two. But if he ends up in a spot where he can take a job, like put him on the Giants, have him compete with Devin Singletary, I think that's a winnable job. You know what I mean? So give him to Carolina. I think that's a winnable job from Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard. So if he ends up in one of those spots, I think his value is going to be very high. But if he ends up, you know, in Seattle and now he's behind Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker or something, I don't know when he sees the field. So landing spot means a lot for Trey Benson, but I still think he's top 3 or 4 on every team's board. So I think he's going to go higher than a lot of these other running backs, and he's going to be prioritized to get the ball in his hands. So that's why I have him in this spot.
I like Benson. I could have made a case for him instead of Allen taking a running back in that spot. Fitz, quick thoughts on Benson?
Yeah. Boy, another guy I'm not quite sure what to make of. I know Bogman has said he thinks sometimes Benson goes down a little too easily. Maybe I've seen a little bit of that too. But then again, like, there are times where you watch him play and it's like, yeah, this is an NFL running back. So I'm a little bit mixed on him. He's never been my one, but like, I could see the case for it.
And who do you have next?
Boy, it's funny. I despise the University of Michigan football program, and I'm going to take my third Michigan Wolverine. I'm going to take Roman Wilson, a good speed receiver, and a guy I think has helped himself in the offseason process. And yeah, maybe he's, I don't know if the games really compare, but maybe a guy who, a la Nico Collins, comes in a little under the radar because, you know, the passing game is not prolific at the University of Michigan and winds up being a terrific player. So maybe Roman Wilson could follow a similar path.
I'm curious what you guys think of the pick I'm about to make. I'm going to take Jalen Polk out of Washington. I think he's a very good wide receiver who would be getting more steam if he hadn't been kind of overshadowed by an elite wide receiver prospect in Roma Dunze in Washington. I I think the fact that he was the number two on his own team in college is not a reason to knock him when the number one is a guy like Odunze. So I really like Polk. I think he's another guy who could land where he's kind of being projected in mock drafts. I think he can land in a pretty good spot and step in and be a contributor right away. And again, we're kind of in the section of the draft where it's more just kind of to each his own, like, the, you know, pick the guy you like. I like Polk, so I'm going to happily take him here at the very end of round two. Quick thoughts on Polk, Bogman?
Yeah, I like Polk. I do. I have two wide receivers ahead of him that are left on the board, but he's definitely in a tier of, and this is what this tier that I have here is what makes the wide receiver class deep. There's still so much talent on the board, including Polk, Leggett. We haven't even talked about Tez Walker or Corley. You know, they're Baker, Rice. I love these guys. This is such a good class. And I have him very high in that tier. So I think that's a pretty solid pick here.
What do you think, Fitz?
Yeah. Overshadowed somewhat by Odunze. And really he's not even the only other Washington wide receiver who's going to be maybe a coveted fantasy asset. So I think he's a really good player. No issues with getting him here. I think this is about where he should go.
Quick recap of round two. Troy Franklin went 201, then Ladd McConkey, Jonathan Brooks, Michael Penix Jr., Blake Corum, Marshawn Lloyd, Bo Nix, Ricky Pearsall, Braylon Allen, Trey Benson, Roman Wilson, and Jalen Polk. I just want to quickly mention as well before we move to round three, if you've got any dynasty drafts on the horizon or want to see how the latest free agency moves affect fantasy football drafts, our mock draft simulator tool is now open at fantasypros.com/simulator. It's a fast and free way to practice for any kind of draft, including dynasty startup drafts and rookie drafts. Again, that's at fantasypros.com/simulator.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Guys, we have gotten pretty long in the first two rounds, so we'll maybe go a bit faster here on round three. Start us off, Boggs, at the 301.
Give me Jalen Wright, the running back from Tennessee, a guy that has moved up. I think he started moving up more when a lot of people started getting to his tape, right? Because you go through Braylon Allen, there's a lot of buzz coming in, Brooks and Benson and Bucky Irving and guys like that. But Jalen Wright is a three down back, and landing spot is going to mean a lot for the rest of the running backs here. But I have moved him. I mean, I love Bucky. Bucky is one of my favorite running backs here, but I had moved him down with his abysmal performance at the combine, and he's small. I still like Bucky, and I'm still going to invest in him, but I have to put a physical power guy like Jalen Wright ahead of him. He's got a lot of speed, too. I mean, I think this guy can do a little bit of everything. I'm really curious to see where he ends up, and I think he's going to go higher than this post-draft because running back is just a desperate position for people. Even though wide receiver is good, I think a lot of people are going to need running back on their team, so I think Wright is going to move way ahead of being picked in this spot once we get there, especially if he lands on a team where he can play. But I think he needs to go right here. I think if not a little bit earlier.
I considered him a few times with earlier picks, so I'm totally with you there. Fitz, you're on the clock.
Ray Davis, running back for Kentucky, favorite of mine, just versatile, tough, resourceful. I think he could play on any of the three downs. Just like reminds me a little bit of Josh Jacobs stylistically and just how tough he can be running between the tackles. And like Jacobs was experienced homelessness as a kid, and maybe that sort of shaped him and lit the fire under him as far as being a football player and wanting to make that his profession. So I like this guy a lot. Like whenever I watch Kentucky, it was hard to take your eyes off Ray Davis.
Bob, when we talked a bit about Davis, I think Cody took him in the last mock draft we did. What are your thoughts at this point in the draft process?
I mean, motor. And like, Fitz said, it is what probably defines him as a person, not a football player, but motivation. This guy is motivated to get up and work and get every single yard and every single blade of grass that he can on every play and every snap. So he gives his all in everything he does, and you want players like that, and you root for players like that. That's why he is a fan favorite already before he has a landing spot. So hard not to cheer for Ray Davis. Great player.
With the third pick in the third round, I'm going to continue the running back run here. I'm going to take Estime. I know he had a bad combine performance. I'm going to say when we're at this point in your rookie draft, I'm just going to trust what I saw, and I really enjoyed watching him play at Notre Dame. And I think, again, I think there's a role for him at the NFL level. I would be happy if the Ravens took him, you know, in the middle of the draft to pair up in that backfield with the aging Derrick Henry. I just am a big fan of his, and I'm not going to let a bad couple of days at the combine at this point in the rookie draft change my estimation of Estime.
Oh, so
that actually was not pre-planned. Fitz, what do you think about Estime?
Yeah, so kind of like Braylon Allen in a way, in that I don't see him playing on passing downs in the NFL, but put him in the right situation on a team that gives him goal line opportunities, not inconceivable that he could score a dozen touchdowns.
You said the exact same number I was going to say. I was going to say if the Ravens hadn't added Derrick Henry and instead they drafted Estime, I would absolutely be expecting him to step into the Gus Edwards, like, dozen rushing touchdown role.
So sure.
I think there's a couple of places where that could be taking place. Boggs, I'm curious your opinion of Estime, and also you're on the clock at 204.
Yeah, I'm a higher on Estime. Of course, you know, the combine didn't do him any favors. He looked slow and all of that, but I don't know. You know, my opinion on this, it's 90% film and 10% combine. Sometimes it's reaffirming, okay, this guy is slow. That's what we were worried about. And that is what happened with Estime. But I think what he put on film means he can do it. Running back is an easily translatable position as well. So I think if he lands in a good spot, we could see some good numbers from him. But also he could be A.J. Dillon. And I was very high on A.J. Dillon, and that did not work out. So he's more of a coin flip than I like. That's all. My pick here, this one, look, I have to take one Texas player. So give me Jatavion Sanders here. The slide will stop for the second tight end.
I told you
I
could. I refused to take him after I already took the other three.
I thought you were going to take him here. I kind of took Wright just to see if you would take him at that spot. But look, you know, tight end is deep. There's a lot of tight ends. That's why he's going to slip. But I think Sanders, if he gets in the right system, you know, put him in Washington behind Zach Ertz, let him learn for a year and then become a downfield threat in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I think he is extremely valuable. A lot of people didn't like Isaiah Likely coming in, right? But he landed in a good spot for him with a guy like Lamar Jackson, and he can just, you know, throw the ball up in the air and let the tall guy go get it, right? So I think if Sanders ends up in a good spot, he could be used really well. There's also a chance he could be, you know, behind a stud tight end like David Njoku and end up being Harrison Bryant, which is frustrating. So landing spot is going to mean a lot for Sanders, but he can catch the ball and he can run with it. So I am excited to see where he ends up.
Fitz, you're up.
So Boggs clucked his tongue at us earlier for not paying heed to the Superflex format with regard to Bo Nix. So I better act now, and I'm going to take Spencer Rattler, who I think has got himself back onto the radar for NFL teams. Maybe he was never off, but like he had, you know, a star-crossed college experience for sure for this guy who came into the college ranks as a mega prospect, and just like didn't pan out to the degree that everyone thought. But I think he's really won people over in the offseason. He's absolutely got an NFL caliber arm, which I don't think anyone questions. And like everyone who's talked to him says he's a mature kid who seems like he's got a really good head on his shoulders. And I think, you know, he could challenge for a starting job in the NFL, maybe not in year one, but by year two.
If he got to the end of this round, I was going to take him. There was no other quarterback I was, you know, considering at any point. But I mean, the pedigree has been there in the past, and I've seen similar things to what you're saying about just in terms of the really good head on his shoulders, and there's some degree of, you know, of natural talent there too. Bogman, what do you make of Rattler here in the middle of the third?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like Rattler, right? Oklahoma guy, all that stuff. Was real arrogant at Oklahoma when he was playing Texas too. I mean, what more do we want to see? We know this guy can make every throw. He's matured a ton from his, you know, early Oklahoma days and his, you know, QB show on Netflix days. He was 18. Everyone's an idiot when they're 18. So, you know, I think he was branded by that a little bit. So I think he's done a lot of work to disprove that, and he has to me. So I'm glad Fitz took him so I don't have to, I do think that he's going to go higher than we expect in the draft.
I am now on the clock, and I'm going to take Javon Baker, and I will tell you guys, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have like a detailed breakdown on him. The biggest reason is trust in Debro, who just updated his rookie rankings. He has him wide receiver 6 in the class, and that is much higher than consensus if you check our rankings on the Fantasy Pros site. So I mostly bring him up because, A, I trust Debro when it comes to rookie evaluations, not much else. And B, I want to get your guys' opinion, and I'm assuming you won't be quite as high as Debro is, again, wide receiver 6 in the class. But Bogman, what do you make of Baker?
I like Baker a lot. And, you know, I do think that he's a little bit of a one trick pony now, you know, like he's a speed guy, right? But you put the ball in his hands and he flies. So it's a sexy pick here. I definitely like it. But a landing spot again is going to mean a lot for, I mean, obviously will for everyone. I keep saying this, but I'm curious to see where he lands. I don't want him to go to a team with a quarterback without a massive arm. He needs to go to San Diego, to the Chargers with Justin Herbert, right? He needs to go somewhere where the QB has a monster rocket arm to put it on him. So I'm curious of landing spot and to see if he can pair up with a QB with a big, big rocket arm.
Bogman, you are up next.
All right. Give me Bucky. I know the combine didn't do Bucky Irving any favors. He looks slow, but just put on the film, just put on the tape and watch this dude play for Oregon. He has burst. He follows a block well. He makes a lot of tacklers miss as well. So undersized, not as athletic as we want for a guy of his size. I get it, But I am trusting what I saw with my eyes at Oregon, and I'm going to go with Bucky Irving in the spot because I still think he's going to be a valuable player, even if it takes him a little bit more to develop than we thought. So give me Bucky Irving.
Fitz, what do you make of Bucky?
Man, I mean, maybe I guess he's got to be this year's Kyren Williams. Really disappointing combine. Just a guy like, for the game he plays, a guy who profiles as a third down back in the NFL, you just would have liked to have seen more speed from him at the combine. Like, those were really disappointing 40 times. What was he, like 4.6?
Yeah,
or something.
Was bad.
Bugs?
He was,
yeah,
4.59.
So,
yeah, not good.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's definitely slower than you want for a space back, a scat back. So that definitely knocked him down my board. But on the field, you see it, though. Like, you see him being a third down back in the NFL. So I have no issues with him here. I think he would have been going in the second round if not for the disappointing combine.
Let's see what you got next.
Yeah, so I'm up at 308, and this guy would not have been available to me if Thor were in this. I'm going to go with Kamani Vidal, a running back from Troy. And it looks like Vidal, like Vidal Sassoon, but it's actually Vidal, I think. So he was super productive at Troy. I think he is the school's all-time leading rusher, ran for like 1,600 yards last year. Really tough, hard-nosed runner, great vision. And like, you're not going to bring this guy down with an arm tackle, even though he's slightly smaller. And like, Thor and I thought he was going to run like a 4.6 at the combine. He ran a 4.47 and tested really well. So that was a pleasant surprise. And I think that unfortunately is going to put him on the radar of some dynasty people, because I think he probably would have been like a fourth rounder if he had run the 4.61 that we were expecting him to run. But with that good time at the 40, like, that, just in addition to all of the good stuff he put on tape, like, he's become an appealing guy. And I think for Thor's going to have him like top five, I think, in his running back rankings, maybe just outside the top five, but not very, like, he's not going past RB7 in Thor's running back rankings. I know that.
What do you make of him, Boggs?
I love Vidal. I mean, he makes so many tacklers miss. He runs through arm tackles. He's got some wiggle too. He's a little bit of a smaller back, right? But, you know, and he went to a smaller school. So I think this, a lot of the stuff that we've been hearing about, a lot of the stuff that we've been hearing about Corum, I think we might hear about Vidal if he played at a bigger school. Obviously, the competition was lower too, and that is why he needs to go later. But I think there's some Corum-ness in Kamani Vidal. Strong little back with some speed. So love watching him play.
I am now up. There's like three or four receivers.
You guys should see Wormley's face. He is stressing out.
Like,
he does not like it.
I feel like I could go. I feel like I've been saying this for the whole second half of the draft, but it's like there's like three or four guys here that I think you could make a really interesting case for. I want to go with a receiver. I think I'll just go with Xavier Leggett and just the pure kind of athleticism play. Like, not my favorite guy, but again, late third round in a rookie draft, I'm happy to kind of just say, like, this guy is very, very athletic and maybe gets with an NFL team that uses him well and, you know, kind of like a poor man's DK Metcalf. Not that he's that good, but so I'll go with Leggett here at the 309.
Love Leggett. That was going to be my pick here. That's you totally sniped me, Worm. So great work. I think a little bit is being overblown about his Senior Bowl performance. Also, the combine, he didn't really help himself. But another guy where, yes, he wasn't great in the ramp up to the draft, but if you watch the film, very good wide receiver, very, very good wide receiver. And, you know, the Debo comp is because they both played at South Carolina, and he sounds like one of my cousins. So if you all have heard him talk at all, but he's endearing himself to me a little bit more. He already feels like one of the family. Give me, for my last pick here, Malachi Corley, a wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. I know maybe I snipe Fitz on this spot. I was going to take Leggett to let you have Corley, but then Wormley sniped me, Fitzy.
I was going to maybe take, and then I picked Leggett. So they both would have been gone regardless.
I mean, the Debo comp is there for Corley too, yeah. Right? And, you know, we talk about, and Fitz has made this point a lot, and I think Fitz has drilled this into my brain too. It's the Ohio State game, man. When he was going up against the best competition he was going to see all year, he played his butt off. He was great. So there's a lot to like on Malachi Corley's tape. Route running isn't it, but you want the ball in his hands. Probably a guy for an offense that doesn't have a quarterback with a strong arm. You know, put him in Vegas with Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell there, and you know, let them throw the ball short, put the ball in his hands, and take it and run. That's what we want to see Corley do, and I'm excited to see where he ends up.
Fitz. Yeah, Corley would have been the pick there. So that was a nice one. Fitz. And Leggett probably would have been the pick if, you know. So, but I do have one more wide receiver up my sleeve, Devontae Walker. Tez Walker of North Carolina, size speed prospect, 6'2 and really fast. And like has some interesting ball skills and made some plays for Drake May. Like developmental guy, I don't see him coming in and making a big splash as a rookie, but I think a guy who could maybe develop into a pretty decent starting NFL receiver with big play potential by like his second or third year.
What do you think about Tez Bogman?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, He hasn't had a lot of playing time recently, right? Obviously, he had the big thing with NCAA, bad performance at the Senior Bowl. So he's moving down boards, but there's a lot of clay to you know, fix this sculpture out of. So I think you know, if he gets in and gets coached up, he's going to be really good. So I like that pick. There's a lot of potential there.
I'm going to wrap us up with a guy that I think I planted my flag on in the first, you know, iteration of this draft, Malik Washington, wide receiver at UVA. He is short. He is really fun to watch. He breaks a ton of tackles. He's explosive, like probably limited to the slot because of the size. But I mean, last year he had 110 catches, 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns at UVA. I just think he's a really fun guy to watch, and I'm excited to see him go hopefully to an NFL team that will utilize him, you know, in a really interesting, you know, way. What do you think about that pick, Fitz?
Yeah, very ultra productive. I know that pick drew some oohs and ahs when we had the mock draft with the player profiler guys. UVA could have used him on the basketball court the other night because they had trouble putting points on.
They could have used me on the basketball court the other night.
Yeah, so I like the pick. I think that's great value at 312.
Yeah, Bobby, the class is so deep, Worm, you know, that the guys that perform well are going to move way up boards. That's why, you know, Washington would have been close to Tez Walker going into this process in, you know, early January, late December, whatever you want to call it, when people really start shifting their focus to the draft. These guys would not have been close, but this is what the process does, right? It raises guys like Washington, it lowers guys like Walker, and they're picked right next to each other in a draft like this. So we'll see how the real NFL draft works, but Malik Washington is getting drafted. His performances in everything leading up to the draft have made him a very draftable player.
Quick recap of round 3, starting at 301, we had Jalen Wright, Ray Davis, Audric Estime, Jatavion Sanders, Spencer Rattler, Javon Baker, Bucky Irving, Kimani Vidal, Xavier Leggett, Malachi Corley, Devontae Walker or Tez Walker, and Malik Washington. We've already run very long in this episode, so we'll go a little bit longer because I want to ask you, Fitz, was there anybody you were surprised didn't get drafted that you thought maybe should have or would have, or any other kind of main takeaways from this mock draft?
No, I mean, there's some other guys who could have been drafted, but I mean, Will Shipley kind of comes to mind. I think with his, I don't know, ready-made passing down back skill set, I think he's probably going to go in the top 3 rounds of most 12-team leagues. That's about it. Like, nothing really shocked me here. You know, I know D-Bro, we did a mock where D-Bro took Troy Franklin 9th overall and got some cat calls, including from me. but, like, there was nothing that nothing egregious here today, I thought.
What did you think, Bogman? Any main takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree that there's some guys, you know, maybe I just there's so much talent, right? So, but there's only one other quarterback like Michael Pratt. Maybe you could have snuck in here if you like him at running back. I like guys like Garrendo and Isaiah Davis. And there's so many wide receivers you could interchange at the end with a couple of those last ones that I think we did a really good job here. I don't think there's a lot missing.
Only two tight ends off the board. And I don't think anybody else even really like I would have even considered. I like Jaheim Bell kind of. I think he's an interesting player, but like I never would have taken him over these receivers.
I think that's the most correct thing that happened in this draft is only two tight ends going. I think that's probably exactly how it's going to go in most. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody sticking with us for this, you know, jam-packed, supersized episode. It was super fun. There's nothing quite as fun as getting to do mock drafts, especially with these two guys. So hopefully it was informative, and I know I learned a couple of things. Hopefully everybody else did as well. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will be back next week for Bogman and Fitz. I'm Ryan. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.